Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet. It's Monday. Our tech has a case of the Mondays, if you couldn't tell. We're going to get Nick connected. It's either going to be this segment or next segment, so this is a short-term problem. First world problems, right? That's what they always say. And we'll get Nick on and we'll start talking about the NBA finals as soon as he gets on, basically, because I think he has a lot of stuff to say. I think the series is really, really interesting. Obviously, we both watched last night's game two, which the Heat won, which is pretty crazy, to be honest. And that this might actually be like a long time consuming series, and that the Miami Heat might really be alive to win the NBA championship is pretty crazy. I know Nick has believed from the beginning that that's going to happen, or from early on in the postseason that was going to happen. But hopefully we'll get his thoughts. He and I obviously can do a full breakdown of game two. Still, we have plenty of space in the show. We'll talk about game three. We'll talk about the point spread. We'll talk about finals MVP market, where nothing interesting is happening with one team and lots of interesting things are happening with the other team. And if there's any kind of series bets we want to make, how we see the series playing out kind of from this point forward. I want to kind of empty the bucket of, we're going to do basically, if we're going to call this segment something, it's going to be like things that I think Nick doesn't care about talking about. So like college baseball, we hit on that already. Some pretty interesting games going on right now. The teams that we bet to win the tournament are going on. Talk to Tyler about golf with Memorial in the rear view, Hovland wins, US Open, all that stuff. A couple baseball award stuff, and this, I think these things are just really interesting, and we'll do NBA soon, I promise. But and Jake, maybe I'll use you for this, but I think you're getting Nick set up for stuff too. There's like a concept in award markets that's, I don't know if it's like a concept or just the way I think about them sometimes, is sometimes you can have a guy who's like a huge favorite to do something. They can be the first choice in the market. They can be the lowest price player to do something, and they can like play their way into that price. So basically, like if somebody was even money, but they were terrible and there were 700 players in the market, but then they scored 30 points a game for a month or whatever they did from that point forward, they basically end up just justifying the price that they had. And I kind of think that's starting to happen in AL Rookie of the Year, which is really interesting. So Masataka Yoshida of the Red Sox has a really, really good week, like a multi-hit game in almost every game that he plays. And he definitely is still an incredibly vulnerable favorite. He probably shouldn't be the favorite right now, but he's starting to justify his price. And it's the most annoying thing if you bet into this stuff, because you're never going to bet him and you never should bet him. And his price should never be what it is. But the longer that he plays well, the closer that his actual true price gets to what's happening right now. And so that's kind of happening in that market, which is really frustrating. Josh Young of the Rangers, I think, would still be like who I would bet in that market. And then AL Cy Young is the other market, I think, that's like potentially starting to get really interesting. Eovaldi pitches really well over the weekend. Otani's hasn't been very good. Cole hasn't been very good. About seven other pitchers have been okay. Eduardo Rodriguez might be out for 2 months with an injury that's called like a pulley something. Sounds like something out of a Simple Machines book or whatever, but he's going to be out for a couple months. Jake, if you're able to hop on for a second, I only want to ask you one more baseball question and then you can get back to Nick. What is your best guess about AL Cy Young right now? Like if you were to give people betting advice for this market, so McClanahan's still the favorite. He's like 3-4-1. Cole's right after him. Otani's like 8-9. Framber Valdez is like 8-9. Eovaldi, Kirby, Joe Ryan, Gaussman. These guys are all like 12-15. I think I just did that right off the top of my head. What would you give anybody betting advice with that market right now?
I don't think there's like a slam dunk way. It's kind of just like whoever you like the most. Like I like Joe Ryan the most. So like obviously right, that'd be who I would lean to. But I think all these guys are just so clustered together right now. Nobody's separating themselves from the pack, and nobody is at a price where it's like, oh, they're close to this group. Let me bet that number right now before it goes away. They're just all kind of clustered right now.
Yeah, it's I totally agree with you that it's like completely subjective. And it is. Yeah, do I have my chart over here? I mean, this is like this is going to get really stupid too before it gets any better. Eovaldi rates out the best performance up to this point in the season. Actually, Eduardo Rodriguez does, except he's not going to pitch for a long time. Eovaldi rates out the best kind of by a lot, except he's Nate Eovaldi. So like, what are we doing with that? He's probably pretty head and shoulders above everybody performance up to this point in the year. McClanahan's record is unbelievable, which is part of what kind of masks some of his underlying metrics. Joe Ryan, who had a good performance over the weekend, is probably next after that. Again, this is just performance up to right now. And then it's like a giant cluster of everybody else. And I agree with you. I think it's just kind of like, okay, who do you like? Do you want to try to project these guys forward? Gaussman projects awesome going forward. Sonny Gray projects pretty well going forward. Eovaldi projects okay going forward. He's third in FIP. So I agree with you. I bought a little Eovaldi today. I actually, did I bet at our show sponsor? Well, I do frequently, but I did not bet this one. There's a couple off-market 18s on him. Everything became 10, and that's probably about right going forward. So I think those two award markets have the potential to still be really interesting. Some of the other ones are just not really interesting. Acuna regained his huge lead in NL MVP because he just gets 9 hits every game. Corbin Carroll's 7 miles ahead of everybody in NL Rookie of the Year. We'll see if Elly De La Cruz gets called up. It's apparently supposed to have happened for about a week, and it just never does, and maybe he will. Meanwhile, he hits like 900-foot home runs in the minor leagues or throws the ball 700 miles per hour all the time, and we'll see what happens with that too. So that's MLB Awards. I think we're going to get Nick on the phone, which is good because I really want to start talking about the NBA Finals, but I don't want to do it until he's on the phone. Oh, I have a camera with a guy on a phone looking at me. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Hasn't been the most fun 25 minutes of my life. I'll tell you that. Probably not yours either. But
we're doing good. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I don't know if I've got like something's really wrong here with something in my connection here. So I'm hoping we're gonna get this figured out before we go off the air today. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I took the approach while you were getting everything set up. I didn't know how long it would be. I didn't know, you know, tech stuff can take 2 minutes, can take 2 hours. I took the approach of trying to design segments that were everything you wouldn't want to talk about and basically just do that with everybody. So it's like, here's baseball awards. Here's college baseball. Here's like Tyler and I on golf. Here's like all, like, we'll just clear the decks of everything that I think you don't want to talk about. And I kept just being like, look, if you're here for NBA Finals, we will do a thorough unpacking of that. But like, I think Nick really wants to talk about that. And I don't think he wants to talk about this other stuff. So we'll do this other stuff first. But I don't really have any other stuff that's not something you wouldn't want to talk about. So if you want to talk about the NBA Finals, if you want to talk about something else, I'm all ears.
Yeah. So why don't we do, I feel like the listeners and viewers right now are probably like, hey man, like we'd really like the guys to talk about the Heat winning last night and tying the series up in a game apiece. So we can do all the other stuff that we generally do at the start of the show. We'll do it a little later in the show while we get this tech stuff sorted out. But, how about my Miami Heat getting the job done last night, Ken, beating the Nuggets down by 8 at the start of the fourth quarter. I'm thinking not only is the game done, but the series is done and I'm not going to cover my bet on Miami last night. And then they go nuclear in the fourth quarter, outscore Denver 36-25. Some great quotes from Mike Malone after the game, Nuggets head coach, citing the, quote, non-existent defense and talking about effort. Not quite Allen Iverson talking about practice, but we're talking about effort here for the Denver Nuggets. Miami holds on for a 111-108 win, and by hold on, I mean literally holding on with Jamal Murray missing that shot at the buzzer. And you and I were talking on the phone this morning, and I bet the Heat, thinking, man, if this game goes to overtime, Denver is winning by 20 points, and I am absolutely going to lose my pregame wager on the Miami Heat. So really needed that Murray shot to miss. It does. Butler and Bam both with 21. We'll talk about finals MVP as we move along. A really interesting market on the Miami side. Maybe not so much with Denver. Or maybe it is a little bit. Because at BetMGM, Jokic is minus 250 to be finals MVP. And the Nuggets are minus 275 to win the series. And we've been saying for a while, right, Ken, that the prices need to be the same. Joker scores 41 last night. So we can get into Game 3's market on Wednesday night. The Nuggets 2.5-point road favorites. Total at 214.5. We can do the series price. We'll do finals MVP. But, Ken, let's talk about what we saw last night. Miami with a big win on the road in Denver. First home loss for Denver this postseason.
I really thought there were parts of this game, like maybe especially in the middle for like an hour, where I felt like Miami was just completely cooked. And I remember watching thinking, okay, like Jokic is obviously playing really well offensively, and they seem to just kind of be like single covering him and seeing what he can do. At the same time, Denver's getting out and running and Miami's committing terrible turnovers. I mean, this was like one of our points in game one, was as bad as it was for Miami, like as much as their energy was bad, as much as they didn't score very much, as much as Jokic kind of solved a lot of the stuff that they were going to do, as much as all of that was true, they at least didn't let Denver get out and run ever, like basically at all for the whole game. And early on in this game, it's like, oh no, they tightened up their defensive rotations. Like it's going to work really well. And then just bad turnover after bad turnover, leading to run out threes, leading to transition dunks. Murray had that awesome and one where it looked like he was maybe going to get teched up or teed up for taunting whoever that was. Max Strus, I think, fouled him on the break. And mercifully, they didn't call a tech on the play. So like at this moment, I go, okay, well now this is like the worst of both worlds, because it's okay, like you made some adjustments and everything, but like that was the one thing you had solved, was you like were preventing them from scoring in transition. Now you don't even have that. Like, what do you have? And the answer, as it's been the entire postseason, is what they have is inability to shoot better than any team in the history of the NBA postseason all the time. Which, given that this is the Miami Heat that we're talking about, is like remains one of the most improbable, crazy ass things I think I've ever seen. So yeah, like I thought there were parts of last night's game where I go, man, like I don't know how they win these games. Like I don't know how they do it. And the answer is the way that they've won all their games in the playoffs: shoot way better than your opponent, no matter how well your opponent shoots, and the rest will kind of take care of itself.
It's pretty unbelievable. And like I'm watching Gabe Vincent shoot the ball. He's like Steph Curry throughout this postseason run, and even did like a little like his own version of like the Michael Jordan shrug in the 92 finals against Portland after one of his threes in the fourth quarter. It was like an unbelievable offensive explosion from Miami. And Ken, I guess this is the question that we've been asking throughout this entire run Miami's been on, and certainly we'll ask it now. I know a lot of other people are asking it as well. Like, can Miami keep doing this? Like, can they keep kind of shooting over their heads? Is this what this is going to be now the rest of the way? And we can feel a little confident in that, because, you know, before the series, I said I thought Miami was going to win the championship. After game one, I'm thinking maybe not as confident. But following last night, I feel really good about Miami winning this championship here. And it's not just the shooting, and that obviously plays a lot into it. Miami, I just feel like, is also tougher than Denver. I mean, Malone ripped the team after game one, basically saying, like, we didn't really play all that well in this game. And then said after game two, like, you guys thought I was lying, the media, when I said we didn't play well in game one because we won. Like, now look what happened. Like, the effort wasn't there in the fourth quarter. Like, Miami out-hustled and out-worked them. So I think that plays into it. And I like Miami a lot here moving forward, Ken, in the series. So curious, as we spin this forward to game three on Wednesday night with the Nuggets 2.5-point road favorites, like how you feel about how things are going to play out here over at least the course of the next game.
Yeah, I think if there's something Miami's done, it's like make all of us question, like, man, are they really going to do it? Like, is it really going to happen? And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, especially either maybe like big sports fans, maybe not, maybe people who bet a lot, maybe not, just everywhere on the spectrum. I think, you know, there's a lot of people who probably listen to that and go like, you idiot, like they've done it the whole postseason. Of course they can keep doing it. And I'm sure there's a lot of people, I mean, Heat fans especially, but people who are like, no, they're just like accept that like this is what it is. And it's like, well, that's true, except if we just like bring in like every other sport comparison, like the reason why the betting market is so resistant to the idea of Miami as a new thing, like a new thing that's way better, that does this every game and shoots like this, and that should be the expectation, is because in like every other sport, every team that does like a half of what Miami does gets completely dump trucked in the following round or the next week or whatever. Like, this is, oh, like you thought the Heat shooting was sustainable, then you're the guy that bets the 16 seed after they beat the one, right? Or you're the guy that beats like the 12 and 13 after a huge upset and plays on them like no matter what. And then you're broke. And you're the guy that bets like the wild card NFL team that like wins like in huge fashion in the wild card weekend. It's like, oh, like they're going to go on a run. And then the divisional team comes in and actually just like handles them a lot. You know, it's like you're the guy who bet TCU in the college football championship because they beat Michigan. It's like just that all the examples of like lower seeded, not as talented. And like, you can say what you want, like the Heat were the one seed that made the conference finals, like still not as talented as many of the teams they played against. It just like, this the story of sports is that these teams have like this awesome moment and then don't win. That's the story of all sports, basically. So if you're wondering like, why is the betting market like, why are the Celtics such a big favorite in a bunch of those games, why were they resistant, why was like, you know, why was there so much resistance in the market to Miami doing this, why was there resistance last night into them doing it, why is there resistance in game three where there's no adjustment, it's just home court, why is that the case? Because like in the history of sports, this is what happens to teams like Miami. They just, okay, great, like awesome upset, awesome run, awesome deep playoff run. I think it's probably happening in hockey right now with the Panthers, honestly. And then like here comes the inevitable conclusion. And for Miami, they've just been able to put off the inevitable conclusion, and they might put it off into the offseason. They might just win. And that's one of the reasons why I haven't bet the series a lot. There's just something different going on with this team than with teams that usually fit that kind of profile.
What do you think you want to do quickly here to close the segment? We'll do more on it on the other side, and we'll do finals MVP as well. How do you feel like you want to bet game three on Wednesday night? So, again, series shifting back to South Beach. Miami, a 2.5-point home dog, total sitting about 214.5.
Yeah, I mean, my first betting thought would be I would bet Denver comes out in the game and plays extremely well to start the game. That would be my guess. And we'll do more after the break as well. I'll take us to break, Nick. Don't worry about it. So we'll do more on game three. We'll do point spread, side total. We'll talk about finals MVP as well. Heat and the Nuggets. Miami ties the series at 1. One of us thought it was going to happen. One of us didn't. More on this when we come back. You better, you bet.